Welcome to the worship service of Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street, Pea Ridge, Arkansas. We hope this message will provide both meaning and inspiration for your life. Listen now for today's message.
Our call to worship today comes from the 78th Psalm. God has gathered us to this place where we hear those stories which show us what the kingdom of God is like. God summons us to this place where we can learn how to serve our God without reservation or hesitation. God will send us from this place to tell others of God's hopes and dreams so that they too can choose to follow God. Affirmation of faith. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes from the 16th chapter of Exodus, verses 2 through 15. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and you fill your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" If you have your Bibles, join me as we read our scripture text from the first chapter of Philippians, verses 12 through 30. "I want you to know, beloved, that what has happened to me has actually helped to spread the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers and sisters, having been made confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, dare to speak the word with greater boldness and without fear. Some proclaim Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. These proclaim Christ out of love, knowing that I have been put here for the defense of the gospel. The others proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but intending to increase my suffering in my imprisonment. What does it matter? Just this, that Christ is proclaimed in every way, whether out of false motives or true, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in any way, but that by my speaking with all boldness, Christ will be exalted now as always in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, living is Christ, and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy and faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is the evidence of their destruction, but of your salvation. And this is God's doing, for he has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well, since you're having the same struggle that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Here we see a man who is living out what he said he believed last week. Paul had every reason to be sad. Do you remember where he is? That's right. Paul's in prison, and not just any prison, but he's in a Roman prison guarded day and night by the imperial guards. Paul is not just in prison. He is there facing death. He may not even live one more day. Finally, Paul has been forced out of the preaching ministry. He was a free spirit. He traveled the known world, establishing churches in every major city, and now he's chained between two Roman guards. If anyone could say life had been given in a bowl of lemons, it was Paul. We've all felt like life has given us a bowl of lemons at times. Our education might be lemons. Our cars might have been lemons. Our homes might have been lemons. Our spouse, well, maybe I shouldn't go there. This morning, if we can learn how to make lemonade from life's lemons, it will increase our joy. If anyone can teach us this lesson, it will be Paul. Paul shows us three attitudes that will turn your lemons into lemonade. Paul kept a positive attitude in his current situation. Let's look at verse 12 of Philippians, the first chapter. I want you to know, beloved, that what has happened to me has actually helped to spread the gospel. Paul said everything that had happened to him had helped to spread the good news. Not just some of the things that had happened to him, not the things that he liked that happened to him, but Paul said all things that had to somehow include the fact that he's in prison, the reality he may die, and that he would leave behind all the churches that he had started. How painful it must have been for Paul, yet he confesses all these things has helped to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Not only has the gospel spread, it is continuing to advance. This part of the Bible Paul wrote in the Greek language. The word he used here means to drive forward. It is the beautiful picture of pioneers cutting their way through the wilderness. This is the team that slashes their way through the underbrush and pierce it so that troops following them can have a safe trip. This is how Paul sees himself as he's sitting in a prison. He believes he's a pioneer cutting the way for the good news of Jesus to spread. Paul kept a positive attitude in his current situation, but that didn't stop there. Paul kept a positive attitude concerning his calling. Let's look again at verses 13 and 14. So that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers and sisters, having been made confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, dare to speak the word with greater boldness and without fear. The awesome thing about Paul is that he refused to let anyone box his attitude in. Even though they boxed in his body, his attitude was still free. Listen to what he sees happening because he is imprisoned. He said that the soldiers in the palace guard are hearing the good news of Jesus. How else would these soldiers ever hear about the gospel if Paul had not been cast into prison? He said that many Christians had gained confidence and were now out spreading the good news. While Paul was going about from place to place preaching the word, there were gifted men who held back. They thought, if I can't preach on the par with Paul, I should not preach. They permitted the timidity and backwardness to hinder their launching out in a work to that which God was calling them to. Maybe they had felt pressure that they didn't measure up to Paul's ability, but now that he's behind bars, they had to step up to the plate. Paul said that this brought him real joy. Some had taken up preaching for all the wrong reasons. These men, who had not commended themselves as being fit for the work of preaching and teaching while Paul was free, had kept in their places, but now, with Paul out of the way, they came out to the forefront. They went forth preaching Christ with their lips, even though their hearts were filled with envy and strife. But jealousy and envy does enter the mind of Paul. He instead rejoices in those who preached the word through goodwill and out of love, knowing that they were appointed to the task. He even rejoices over the men who are preaching with hearts filled with envy and strife, not because of their motives, but because, even with wrong motives, they were out preaching Christ. Paul was thankful for every voice telling out the story of the cross, and he would not permit anything to rob him of his joy. If we are not careful, people will box our attitudes in. It happens to us the moment that we're born. Excited family members press their noses against the nursery window at the hospital and begin playing the game. Who does he look like? After much discussion, it's decided that their red-faced, wrinkly, toothless, bald baby looks like Uncle Harry. The labeling of the little child increases as his personality develops. That's a normal human reaction. We all do it. It becomes hurtful, however, when we start placing limitations on our child because he's a C student or a fair runner or a plain child. Unless parents exercise care, their children will grow up selling themselves short because of the box that we've put on them and the expectations that have been placed upon him. One boxed-in child was Adam Clark, who was born in the 18th century in Ireland. When Adam was a boy, his father told the teacher that Adam wouldn't do well. And the teacher looked upon Adam and said, "He looks bright." That statement changed his life. It let him out of the box that his father had put him in. He lived to be 72 years of age and became a great scholar, an English Methodist preacher, and an author of commentaries and a book called Christian Theology. When Adam Clark preached, it was said, people listened. Both Paul and Adam Clark refused to let people box in their attitude. Paul not only kept a positive attitude in his current situation and kept a positive attitude about his calling, but Paul projected a positive image to others. We're going to jump ahead and look at verse 29. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you're going through the same struggle you saw that I had and now hear that I still have. Paul used the Greek word agon for struggle. It means strife, contention, contest for victory or mastery. It's the picture of the Greek games of running, boxing, and wrestling. It's the word that we get agony from. Listen to what Paul said. He said the same struggles and agony he was going through, they would experience. Paul, in prison and suffering, has a vision of the victorious Christ, so he can talk about being granted the privilege of suffering. No doubt, he remembered Jesus' beatitude, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." Even though we may not be imprisoned for the cause of Christ and we don't hear much of martyrs in our day, don't miss the meaning of this. Because of the love Paul received from the cross, he was also to love in spite of the cost. It costs to love in any time, in any place. The costs may not be chains or death, but they are no less real. It costs to be on call for prayer and listening and counseling as your church seeks to minister to those outside the church as well as those within. The word of Paul for us here is that the love of Christ on the cross is both the means of our salvation and the mandate for our ministry. So this morning, we too can turn lemons of life into lemonade by following Paul's example. First, keep a positive attitude in your current situation. Second, keep a positive attitude concerning your call. And third, project a positive image so others can follow. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, what a wonderful message today. What a great reminder, Father, of Paul's situation. Paul's situation in that he was locked away and he was destined to die. But through his attitude, Father, the attitude that I would have would be of sorrow and anger and pain, and Paul didn't have any of that. Sure, I'm positive he was disappointed that he had to be locked away. He was actually desperate. He would have loved to have been out with the people. But he was so glad that because he was imprisoned, others took notice. Others were required to step up. And the fruits of that, Father, were that the others heard the word of God, and because of that hearing of the word of God, they too would become Christians and would follow the cause of Jesus Christ. Father, may mine and the attitudes and hearts of everyone listening this morning be of that we too could set aside our own needs to see to the joy of others coming to have that knowing and loving and merciful and gracious gift of Jesus Christ in our lives. Father, we pray that others may have that relationship, that others may be freed from their box or free from their bonds of prison, whatever they might be. And that they too could live eternally with those that have went on before. What a wonderful, wonderful rejoicing it would be when that last trump sounds and we are called home by Jesus to be with him in heaven. That reunion that we will have, not only with our loved ones that have gone on before, but the joy and rejoicing of the Apostle Paul, who set forth all of these things in motion because he was called and set aside and appointed and given that fire within him from Jesus. We pray, Father, in Jesus' name, as he taught his disciples to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
I heard the call of me.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church is a home for people of all backgrounds and ages. We rejoice in each new person that comes our way. Our goal is to enable you to make faith in God a vital part of your everyday life by creating an environment where worship is meaningful and uplifting, where teaching from the Bible is relevant to life situations, where friendships are significant and prayer is practiced as a continuing communication with God. Are you looking for a church? Between churches? Perhaps burned out on church? Come give our church a try. We are Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, 1209 North Davis Street in Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Find us on Facebook, and our web address is pearidgeumc.net. Or you can call Pastor Jeremy Gross at 479-553-9585. Pea Ridge United Methodist Church, anchored in the past, moving toward the future, making disciples for Christ along the way.